on the website after tonight. So this will be available to our fellow residents in the area who aren't able to attend tonight. So as we're talking about 100th Ave, as residents, you guys know about this already. I wanted to give you a few background information about from like a transportation engineering perspective. So 100th Avenue is a principal arterial, and it has a posted speed limit at 35 miles an hour. It carries about 15,000 cars per day on average. And currently, the only crossing opportunities for pedestrians to cross 100th Ave are at the 137th signal to the south of the project corridor and on Simons Road. And here that is shown on a map. There are approximately 2,800 linear feet in between Simons Road and 137th to be able to cross 100th at a signalized intersection. So that's just a give you some more background information. And with that, we'll ask one more poll question from Christian.
All right, thank you so much, Jennifer. Here comes the new poll. Poll number two, it has three questions. First question, how important to you is a new pedestrian crossing at Northeast 140th Street? You have three options: important, neutral, or not important. Second question, what is your primary purpose of traveling along 100th Avenue Northeast without a car? That is, if you're walking, bicycling, using a wheelchair, a scooter, or transit. You have five options there: to get to services for exercise or recreation, because you have no other transportation option, to limit your carbon output, or the only way you travel is by automobile. And the third question is asks you whether you agree or disagree with this statement: the 100th Avenue Northeast corridor should be accessible to all travel modes. That is by foot, bike, transit, wheelchair, or scooter. And it just asks you whether you agree or disagree. And if you're not seeing the questions, all three questions and all the possible answers, just scroll down on your poll window and you should see them all there. Answers are rolling in. Getting very good feedback from those in attendance.
I want to take a moment, if I can, Christian, to just acknowledge that we're getting some questions coming through on the Q&A feature. And I think Jennifer's presentation will answer most of them at the moment. So we'll hold off on answering them live. And then when we get to a point, we'll address those.
Great. Thank you, Doug. Okay, it looks like there's one person out there who may have not answered the questions. I'll give you just a moment to answer each of the three questions, and I'll be closing the poll here in about 20 seconds. Okay, now for the results. Here they come. So, on question number one, how important is a crossing at Northeast 140th Street? 62% of you said it was important. 19% of you said you were neutral on the subject, and 19% of you said it's not important. On the question of what your purpose is when traveling along 100th Avenue Northeast without a car, 25% of you said to get to services. 65% of you said for exercise or recreation. One of you said you have no other transportation option. And one of you said to limit your carbon output. And actually, zero of you, surprisingly, said the only way you travel along 100th Avenue Northeast is with an automobile. That's an interesting little insight there. And on question number three, agree or disagree whether the corridor should be accessible to all travel modes. 95% of you agreed that it should, and because it connects thousands of people to many important destinations. And one of you said It's really suitable only for cars. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Christian. Okay, we're going to move on with the presentation. So I, since our mailer went out, I've been having a lot of phone conversations and email conversations with community members. And I know that everybody's interested in how we picked a location for our recommendation. So I wanted to walk through some of those locations that were considered by city staff. It's clear that an additional pedestrian crossing would be beneficial on this corridor, but it's a challenging problem to solve. Each location has pros and cons, and no single location is perfect or has equal benefits. So we'll walk through a few of these together here. The first location we looked at is a mid-block location between 139th and 140th. We found that there were geometric constraints with the driveway spacing here. At the 140th Street intersection, this aligns with the King County Metro bus stops on the south side, and it's forward compatible with multiple plans that the city has for the future at this intersection. But we do know and acknowledge that it creates left turn conflicts for Northeast 140th Street. We considered a mid-block location between 140th Street and 140th Place. We considered this to be geometrically feasible, but it doesn't have the same benefit as aligning with the bus stop and the future Greenways connection. The same deal with Northeast 140th Place. We found it to be feasible, but it doesn't have the other benefits of Northeast 140th Street. And we also looked at a mid-block location between 140th Place and 142nd Place. We considered this too far north and outside of the pedestrian desire line. And additionally, it also had geometric constraints and with driveway spacing. So I wanted to talk for a few minutes about the benefits of the proposed crossing location. Our recommended crossing location is on the south leg of Northeast 140th Street. We believe that this location provides several unique benefits that are only for this crossing. One is that it aligns with the King County Metro bus stops. This location, having the bus stops there, is likely to induce crossing demand. So more people are going to want to cross there. And then it also aligns with the school bus stop. It aligns with a future planned greenway improvement that connects the Juanita and Finn Hill neighborhoods in Kirkland. And then just as an added bonus, it also utilizes some future underground infrastructure that's already proposed on the project, such as conduits and junction boxes. Another benefit of this one that's not listed in this screen, something that it doesn't do, is it doesn't require a super significant redesign effort. We don't have to rework very much of the surface water improvements or biodetention areas to make this specific solution work. A lot of the benefits listed on screen here are focused on the pedestrian desire line. So I wanted to talk for a moment on what that pedestrian desire line is and why it's important. So a pedestrian desire line is defined as the path that people will want to travel. Our engineering judgment and best practice documents, such as NACTO, encourage us to include pedestrian crossings at locations at the current or projected future pedestrian desire line. And this is to avoid unintended and less safe crossing behavior. So we've all had this experience when driving, that you're driving and you see somebody cross the road where there's not a marked crosswalk. And I think often people won't walk several hundred feet out of direction to use a crossing. It's important for us to align these safety improvements for where we think people are going to use them to be the most effective. So we talked a bit about the benefits of the crossing location at 140th Street, and we understand that this comes with some drawbacks as well. One of those is that the proposed median island on the south side of Northeast 140th Street will prohibit left turn movements northbound from 100th Ave to Northeast 140th Street. It will likely drive more additional traffic to Northeast 140th Place as well. And that's what the red route shown on the screen is. So drivers or people who live, residents who live on Northeast 140th Street could use a different route to get home. And it might have the unintended consequence of reducing traffic or having a traffic calming effect on Northeast 140th Street. So in my conversations with residents over the phone and email, a lot of people ask questions about the pedestrian refuge island, why that's important, can we go without it? So pedestrian refuge islands are an important safety feature. They can be defined as a raised curb median island that pedestrians can pass through as a part of a marked crosswalk. They have lots of safety benefits. They reduce pedestrian exposure to traffic, and it gives pedestrians a safer place to be in the middle while crossing if that's needed. It also allows pedestrians to focus on one direction of traffic at a time. So you could look left, cross halfway, and look right to sort of break up the crossing a little bit. And the FHWA defines a pedestrian refuge island as a proven safety countermeasure to enhance pedestrian safety and reduce crashes. I will note as well that there are five RFB crossings along this 100th Avenue corridor from the 98th Juanita Drive intersection up to the 100th Avenue and 132nd signal. All five of those crossings have median islands with RFBs, the only difference being that they are in true mid-block locations and not at a side street intersection. So we'll pause there and do our last round of poll questions.
All right, thank you, Jennifer. Now for poll number three, there's two questions in this poll. I'm sharing that poll now. The first question is, how often would blocked left turn lanes at Northeast 140th Street affect your driving route? Your options are five of them. The first is never. Second is a few times a week. Third is several times a week. Fourth is a few times a day. And the fifth is several times a day. And after you've answered that question, question number two is, in your opinion, should the city build a 100th Avenue Northeast crosswalk at Northeast 140th Street? Only two options there. Yes, the benefits to public safety exceed the inconvenience to me, or no, the 100th Avenue Northeast primary purpose should be to convey traffic. Answers are rolling in. We are at 15. Our max response will be 19. So at 19, I'll close the poll and share the results. And again, if you can't see the second question or the entirety of the second question, just scroll down and you should see the entire question in your window. We have two folks out there who haven't yet answered question number two, so I'll give you about 20 seconds to submit your answer. And I'm going to share the poll in about 20 seconds. Okay, it looks like we've reached maximum participation. Here come the results. So to the first question, how often would a block left turn lanes affect your driving route? The most common answer was at 40% was never. 40% of you said it would never affect your driving route. 20% of you said a few times a week. 15% of you said a few times, several times a week. 10% of you said a few times a day. And 3 of you said several times a day. To question number two, in your opinion, should the city build a crosswalk at Northeast 140th Street? Overwhelmingly, 78% of you said yes. And 22% of you said no. And this is probably a good time for me to say that we all appreciate you, and we've learned a lot already from your participation in these polls. But none of these polls are actual votes. They are a decision point for the city council to use when it makes its decision about whether and how to pursue a crossing at Northeast 140th Street. So thank you so much for providing some really good data, some human data that helps us understand how this will affect. And the city council really appreciates all this feedback. I'm going to stop sharing now.
Great. Thank you, Christian. So we'll move on to the different kinds of crossing treatments that we're considering at this location. We looked at five different types. The first would be a no-build option, so not putting in the crosswalk, leaving it as currently proposed. We could put in RFBs with the required median island. So that would be the yellow flashing indicators that you see kind of throughout the city. We could put in a hawk signal. So hawk signals are newer to the city of Kirkland. There aren't any yet within the city, but they will be going in the next few years. There are overhead signal systems that are more regulatory in nature and are supposed to get a little bit better compliance rate for motorists. That's an option. The full traffic signal, I saw in the Q&A, a lot of people are interested in the full traffic signal. My understanding is that the full traffic signal does not yet meet warrants. So in order to install a new traffic signal at a location within the city, we do an engineering study that looks at several different factors around the crosswalk, or around the intersection rather, including things like side street volumes. It's my understanding that this signal is not warranted at this time, and therefore it's not recommended to be installed.
And Jennifer, would you mind explaining what it means to meet warrants, what that means?
Sure. In the METCD, the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, which is the governing document that engineers use for transportation elements, there is a list of, I think, eight different warrants. You don't have to meet all of them, but you have to meet some of them. It's looking at things like different levels of volume of traffic, looking at for different periods during the day at peak hour versus a 24 hour. And it looks at other things such as, levels of pedestrians and crash rates and all sorts of things like that. So that's what we mean by that. It's an engineering study containing those items.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. The last option that we considered, but then didn't ultimately recommend was a roundabout. Roundabouts have lots of safety benefits. They reduce vehicle speeds. And our recommendation was not to move forward with that because we're already in construction and the redesign effort would be very significant moving forward with an option such as that. We think the most likely outcome would be an RFB with a required median island. The recommendation of an RFB would include the benefits of an RFB, which are increased motorist awareness at uncontrolled marked crosswalks, increased yield rates for people in the crosswalk, and reducing pedestrian crashes. So as Doug and Christian mentioned, the next steps for us are to collect the feedback, answer questions, and convey this information to council, and they will make the final decision on if and how to implement a pedestrian crossing. And with that, I'll ask for Christian to help with Q&A.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. We have several questions that started coming in at the beginning of the presentation. One that is you answered earlier in the presentation, but it might make sense to answer it again. Would it make sense to relocate the 140th crossing to the north side to allow left turns?
I have gotten a lot of feedback from the community on where we could place it. Moving it to the north side, in this particular case, you are missing out on the benefit of having right at the bus stops. So both the school bus stops and the King County Metro bus stops. We feel that that is a significant benefit having it on the south side. That is our recommendation moving forward for that reason. I've gotten phone calls and emails wanting to have it at different places along those corridor. And I think that's feedback that we're going to collect and put in front of council along with all the other feedback.
Great. That makes sense. Okay. So question number two, this one comes from Diana. Will the crosswalk allow for northbound turns from eastbound Northeast 140th Street?
That's a good question. Let me hop back real quick in the presentation to look at the map. Hang on, bear with me. Okay. So in this graphic, north is to the right.
That's right.
So we're looking at 100th Ave going from left to right on the screen, and Northeast 140th Street is going up and down. So the proposed median island would be on the south side of the intersection. So the question is, will the crosswalk allow
for northbound turns from
eastbound? Yes. I think the answer to that would be yes, because we are designing the nose for that island to allow for turns eastbound out of 140th Street.
Yes. Yes. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Well answered. Question number three. Have we considered a raised crosswalk solution like the one shown at this link? I might have to share my screen here. This is in the NACTO.org mid-block crosswalks. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Oh, there it is. Oh, the window keeps moving on me.
Sorry, I stopped sharing. Trying to get out of your way.
Okay, right there. And share. And close that. Okay, so where did it go? There it is. So I believe he's talking about, well, we may have to come back to the question. Maybe this one right here, it might be too small for folks to see. It's a mid-block crosswalk.
Yeah. So the question was, have we considered using a raised crosswalk on the project?
I think a raised mid-block crosswalk.
Yeah. On a principal arterial, it would probably be a bit too intrusive to use something that's like a raised crosswalk, because it's a major arterial that carries a lot of traffic for the city. Similar to how we consider speed cushions and those sorts of similar treatments. So it has, a traffic calming, and it drives driver's attention to the crossing that, hey, something's going on here, pay attention. So it has a lot of benefit and utility, but I think that is maybe for smaller, denser areas, smaller, denser streets, and not necessarily arterials with a posted speed of 35.
And just for my own clarity, what do you mean by a little too intrusive for the material? What does that mean?
So a raised crosswalk it's like a bump you go over. And that bump is something that we don't install on arterials because it's a jarring ride to go over, particularly because the speed limit is 35 on 100th Ave. That would be a heck of a ride.
Got it. Okay. I've got another question here, and this one's about transit. Will bus stops be placed on east or west, on the east or the west side of 100th? And I'm inferring here near the Northeast 140th Street intersection.
Let's go back to the map. Can you please read that one more time?
Sure. I think this is the question as intended. Will bus stops be placed on the east or the west side of 100th Avenue Northeast near Northeast 140th Street? So
that's a good question. Laura is on this call as well, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it'll go in on both sides of the road. Is that correct? On both the east and the west?
Yes, that is true.
And we got a comment in the chat that the bus stops around in there.
Oh, I didn't quite catch that, Doug. Can you say that again?
Someone put in the chat that the bus stops exist on the east and the west side.
Wonderful.
Also, did we talk about this location being used for a school bus stop?
I did mention that, yes. And that is, you know, another added benefit for having it at this location is that people needing to cross the street to get to or from the bus stop can do that a little bit more safely.
Okay, I'm going to ask one more question. And if any folks out there have any additional questions, please submit them now. Otherwise, we'll probably close out the evening at the end of this question. But this is a good one. This comes from Dennis Pierce, who says, "I'm thankful to hear of the proposal of a crosswalk. Are there any plans to add stoplights between Simons Road and 137th? If not, he says he's hoping that the crosswalk is well lit with flashing lights as southbound traffic flies through that stretch at accelerating as lanes expand from 2 lanes to 5 at 140th. So Jennifer and Laura, I think that's probably both in your camps.
Yeah, I'll go first and then sure. I'll pass it to Laura for any other context that she may be able to add. I'm not aware of any plans to add stoplights between Simons and 137th. As I mentioned before, we have to do engineering studies to figure out whether or not those stoplights are warranted. Just as a rule of thumb, we don't install signals that are not yet warranted. The crosswalk in this area, we do have a design consultant on board who's checking out the lighting in the area. So we're also hoping for a well-lit crossing that is enhanced in some way. So either an RFP or a HAWC to help people get across.
Got it. That makes sense. Laura, did you have anything to add regarding plans for stoplights between 137th and 140th? I think Jennifer answered. I think she got it all, actually.
Yeah. As part of the early design efforts of this project, the engineers did take a really close look at if we could add a traffic signal near 140th Street. And as Jennifer said, at that time, it was not warranted. And we did take a close look again recently, and it is also still not warranted at this time.
Great. Thank you so much, Laura. And
there's some questions. I'd like to interject. Sorry, Christian.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to make sure we've answered all the questions. I think a few of them we answered in the presentation, so I'm clicking on answer live to close the loop on those. I'm just making sure we're doing one last pass. Has the volumes of vehicles on Northeast 140th Street going up and down for not only residents, but all the other vehicles from on top of Thin Hill area been considered?
I can answer that one. And then please feel free to add any additional context you might have. I'm going to pull it back to this slide. Can you still see my screen?
Yes.
Wonderful. So this is an overview map of the area. In this map, north is up on the screen. So this is coming back to when we were discussing the median island. So 140th Street to the west only would impact a smaller number of houses. And my understanding is to the west, going up and down Finn Hill is 140th Place, which is the next intersection up to the north. So we have considered that there would be additional turning volumes as well. So going up 140th Place, now turning left, and then trying to get back down to 140th Street. I hope that answers the question. There also, there would be different turning patterns from Northeast 140th Street on the east side of 100th as well. I don't know if that's what they were asking about. But there would be different turning patterns with a median island.
And it looks like we have a few questions that have come in the last couple minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and ask those now. We'll start with the most recent first. That's a comment from Sadie, who says the Metro school pedestrians would be just a few steps if located mid-block. So it sounds like Sadie is advocating for a mid-block crossing. Bob Gowing, he asks, can we have a no turn on red at the bottom of Simons Road to allow northbound turns in the morning from 140th Streets in the morning during heavy traffic time?
That's an interesting question. I haven't evaluated that. That is something that I would maybe want to follow up about. I would direct Bob and any other residents who want to follow up with me directly. My email address is shown on the screen. It's jpalmer@kirklandwa.gov. You can also use our R Kirkland feature to submit a service request. That sounds like that would be a good candidate for a service request. It would require, I think, a little bit more data and information to be able to address that. So I encourage you to reach out to me directly, please.
Yeah, and to submit a service request, I'm going to try to find that link real quick and place it in the chat for you. It's a really robust system that allows us to field and respond to requests.
I will pull that up while you wrap up with Q&A, Christian.
Well, you've got another couple questions to ponder here, Jennifer. So this one comes from Jenny. She says, I'm concerned that drivers will go faster than ever due to the wide, straight, multiple lanes. My teens cross frequently to visit their friends' houses on the other side. What will keep drivers from speeding?
That's a really good question. So every, you know, our transportation system is a balance, competing priorities. I think as transportation engineers, we look at everything through a safety lens first. So we do what we can to enhance the driving environment to encourage appropriate speeds. But at the end of the day, we can't really control driver behavior. And that's kind of the catch 22 of it. I will say that we, in the next, I don't know, year or so, we're going to be taking a look at our speed limit policy in the future. Yeah. And then safety will be a large component of that. We're still developing kind of a scope for that body at work at this time. So I don't have too much to share on it, but I would be concerned as well if my kids were crossing the street and it's, you know, busy and fast. So
Okay.
And Jennifer, just to add to that, I think, you know, there's kind of the three E's, engineering, education, and enforcement, and between the kind of trifecta there, the idea is that we can have a safe and effective transportation system that will serve everybody. And so it's a combination of all that. I like how Jennifer called it competing objectives. There absolutely are multiple modes of transportation, multiple users, types of users using the system. And so we try to take all of that into account when addressing issues like this.
Interesting. Engineering, education, and enforcement. What's interesting about that is one of those has to do with like the infrastructure and the design, and the other two is really all about behavior, isn't it? It's the education and the enforcement. Okay, so we do have, it looks like, one more question. It's a statement, actually, from Sadie. She says, we have lived on West 140th Street for 19 years. Mid-block is ideal for a crosswalk. There is a blind corner turning left at the top of 140th Place for residents trying to access 140th Street. I don't know if any of you want to comment on that, but that is Sadie's comment.
That is something that we were made aware of just in the last week or so. I talked to a resident on the phone about this specific issue. So there are, again, I'll bring it back to this map. On this map, 100th Ave runs through roughly the center of the page, with up being north. North is pointing up. 140th place does take a 90 degree turn going to the right there. So I think I did contact, after I spoke with this resident last week, I did contact our neighborhood traffic control program planner who's assigned to that body of work. And we're going to look at things like speeds. I think it's 97th Avenue. So that's something that we want to, make sure is within normal parameters, right? So I think we're going to go and put out some, do a speed study along 97th and see what can be done there. In terms of like a blind corner in sight distance, we can do things from an engineering perspective to encourage the kinds of behavior we want, like signs and striping. But I do think that there's, I think, about 25 homes on Northeast 140th Street. So that would be, a new set of trips potentially that need to make that turn.
Okay, that's a great answer, Jennifer. The questions are continuing to come in, so I'm going to continue to ask them. Mark says he's concerned that it will be difficult to turn south on 100th from westbound 140th due to the median island blocking traffic moving into the middle lane. And I think the answer is yes, it should be impossible, right?
Well, and I think Mark is talking about the westbound to southbound movement.
Westbound,
yeah. So that, I'll pull up the same map that we've been sort of referencing. So from the right side, if you're looking at the page with up being north, if you're looking at the right side, so it's coming from the right side of the page and then turning down to go southbound. I haven't reviewed the conceptual drawings in detail, but it's possible to use perhaps the two-way center left turn lane, at least get one car in there. I'm not sure the whole thing will be blocked, but that's something we will definitely be considering in the design. It might also be prohibitive. I just don't have that answer yet. So that's something that we should follow up on as time goes.
Because it's just a proposal at this point. There's not a lot of detail. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
So, great question. Great question. Let's see. We did have a question here I'm not going to be able to read it verbatim because I don't see it immediately, but the question was, why not install traffic cameras, speed cameras on 100th Avenue?
I can jump in on that one. So that's a broader citywide policy discussion that needs to happen. The city council would need to consider that more broadly. There's a lot of implications and a lot of things that need to go into that kind of policy work. And so that is something that needs to have a policy foundation first and then be implemented. And the city has not done that to my knowledge. But we do hear about that every once in a while. We have the school zone enforcement cameras. But I'm interpreting this as the speed enforcement cameras, which Bellevue has that along 148. And so it's part of a broader policy discussion that needs to happen.
Okay, Peter Hugh asks, will people be able to turn onto Northeast 140th Street to the east from southbound 100th Avenue Northeast?
Yes. Yes, that should be unimpeded.
Okay.
Is my current understanding of the conceptual design. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. And any other questions? I'm thinking
there's a couple here that are kind of related to things that Jennifer has addressed in terms of the mid-block, the desire line crossings further north, and what is being discussed. So I'm going to click those answered because I believe we covered those.
And then we should save this Q&A as well, the text, so that we can go through the questions in more details to look at the kinds of feedback and things that people are interested in.
Yeah, as we're rummaging through these last few questions to answer them, I just want to say thank you to everybody who attended tonight, but also who has taken time to share their thoughts and ideas in the preceding couple of weeks after you received the mailer that we sent out. Those ideas and messages have definitely helped us, you know, think through various aspects of this proposal. Okay, so it looks like we have two open questions.
Christian, can I interrupt? Sorry to keep doing that. But I think it kind of fits into what you just said about participation. And I just want to reemphasize that City Council will receive a presentation from Jennifer and myself on the 12th of December. So please tune into that. If you can, you can hear how this will get kind of summarized and reported back to Council and their discussion. So as you can imagine, the seven council members will have different things that they are concerned with and will be asking us about in terms of safety and multimodal transportation and all of the things that are really important to our council. Again, the hope there is to get some direction from the City Council to either pursue or not pursue this additional crossing. So we're still in the early stages, but because the project is in construction, we want to make sure that we're moving fast and not slowing anything else down in terms of the project being implemented. So just another plug for the 12th, please attend if you're able to. Tune in. You can also email questions in the meantime. Just wanted to put that plug in there.
Okay, December 12th, the City Council will be discussing this, and the meeting starts at what time is it, Doug?
It will actually be part of the study session first, initially, and then we'll go back to Council later in the meeting to ask for a direction on that. So it's a little bit broken into two pieces. Part of it is because it's the last meeting of the year, and there's about 101 topics on the agenda. So there was some maneuvering from a time and agenda standpoint, but the study session starts at 5:30.
5:30.
We are one of four topics in the 1 hour, 90-minute study session, I believe it is. So it'll be at some point between 5:30 and about 7.
Great. 5:30 to 7, December 12th, and then later on during the City Council meeting, which starts at 7:30.
The regular portion of the meeting starts at 7:30, and that's where the City Council can make decisions and provide direction to staff.
Okay, great. That's a really important date and time to note if you're interested in this topic. So we have four questions remaining. I'm going to start from the top. Could rumble strips be installed at a distance from the crosswalk to indicate to the drivers to pay attention?
That is not a currently utilized engineering treatment that I'm aware of, moving toward crosswalks. I don't know that that is something that we would consider. We like our traffic control devices, our pavement markings or signs, the things that we apply in the streets. We like them to be fairly uniform, both within the city and then also so that it matches up with adjacent cities and outside the city. So that's not something that we would consider at this time.
Okay.
Thank you, Jennifer. I do want to note that in the Q&As, Bob Myers also included a link to an article that talks about this treatment in rural roads in China. So I think that's something we'll take a close look at later.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Bob. And Bob asked another question. I think, Laura, you might have this answer. It's an interesting question. What is going to be done with the lot where all the equipment is being stored and staged? There was a sweet cow there when I moved here in 1978.
Oh, well, this is a great question. Yeah, so this lot on the northeast corner of 100th and 140th, it's a City of Kirkland Parks owned property called the Wiviot parcel. And so the contractor is renting that space from the city. And as part of their payment to us, when they're done with the construction project, they're going to renovate that area. There are some tree removals that we had to do in order to build our improvements because we will be damaging the roots to the point where the trees aren't safe to leave up. So we're going to be replanting trees. We are creating flat spaces where future playground equipment could be added. And we're also looking into some options to add a little bit of parking on that parcel as well for people who want to come play in the park.
Got it. Thank you for the answer. And I knew the right person to ask that question to. Okay. Our final question of the evening. comes from Mark Stiepel. I hope you're still here to hear your question being answered. Was a flashing yellow light considered with a pedestrian push button and for car traffic turning south from 140th?
So the yellow flashing light in this area, we are considering an RFB treatment. If that is what is meant by that, then yes. On my screen, you can see the RFB is this image on the top. That's a yellow flashing light. In terms of like overhead beacons, that's not something that was considered at this time. I think the effectiveness and the safety benefits of the Hawk would far outweigh a flashing yellow beacon, just like a steady flashing beacon. And I know a few of those are being replaced around the city as well with these Hawk treatments. So we wouldn't do a single flashing yellow beacon, but we would do the RFBs as shown, the rectangular rapid flashing beacons. Good question.
Got it. Thank you, Jennifer. Well answered. I'm going to turn this meeting back over to our MC of the evening. That's Doug McIntyre, our transportation planning manager. Doug, it's all yours.
I think it was a shared MC tonight. So thank you to Christian, Laura, Jennifer, for all the great information. I think, not to be too repetitive, but again, the next step is for us to go to council on the 12th. We will receive direction from the council and then move forward at that time. So please stay engaged and let us know if there's any other questions. But other than that, we will close out this event tonight almost exactly at 1 hour. And again, thank you for participating. We know taking an hour out of your day sometimes is very difficult. You have many other things going on in your life. And so we appreciate the engagement. This is really helpful information for us to be able to help City Council make a really informed decision. So please continue to engage with us. It is meaningful, and we hope you feel heard. And with that, I think I'll turn it over to Christian to close this out.
Okay, everybody. As Doug said, thank you so much. Please stay tuned to this topic, but also to other topics, not just in Juanita, but Finn Hill and all throughout the city. We really do benefit from public feedback and all of your wonderful ideas. We can't implement all of them, but we definitely learn a lot from each of them. So thank you for attending tonight, and we hope to see you at the next event. Thanks so much and have a great night.
Thank you.